Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
Well, it's going to be a very busy qualifying session to get things kicked off with all of our GTD, both the pro and normal varieties, out on track together. Who are our qualifying drivers going for pole? Well, let's start with the two cars that got on pole at Daytona, because they have the exact same drivers in them. Rexy is once again piloted by Seb Priou, and the number 12 Vassar Sullivan Lexus is in the hands of resident Canadian Parker Thompson. For the two Fords, because I know we've got a lot of Ford fans out around the track, Joey Hand is aboard the number 65, and Mike Rockenfeller, whose only IMSA win since the merge came at Sebring, he's going to be qualifying the 64. For the 60 Iron Link, it's Claudio Schiavone. We've got Mario Farnbacher, Super Mario, in the number 23 Heart of Racing Aston Martin. Frank Pereira is in the other pro car from Iron Link, so I'll get to the AM in a minute. It's Jack Hawksworth aboard the number 14 Vassar Sullivan Lexus. He qualifies on pole 13% of the time. Not a bad average. Oliver Jarvis is piloting the Pfaff McLaren. We've got Tommy Milner in the number 4 Corvette. And happy birthday to Alexander Sims in the number 3, looking to try and get his second career pole in this series. Who else do we need to keep an eye on in the GTD class? Well, how about this? Alessio Rovero is qualifying at the number 023. That is the Triarsi Competizione Ferrari. Ferrari with the best record of any manufacturer racing at Sebring, getting on the podium more than 30% of the time. Mick Grenier is aboard the number 32 Cawthorne Preston Mercedes. He's going to be someone to watch as well. Kyle Marcelli put the Acura on pole last year for Wayne Taylor Racing. Well, this year it's a Lamborghini. He's going to try and do it again. How about Antonio Fuoco, who won Sebring a couple years ago for Cheddar? He's going out for qualifying duties today. Phil Ellis is in the number 57 Windward Racing Mercedes. And how about Loris Spinelli, pole at Watkins Glen? He's going for it again here today with Forte Racing in their Lamborghini. Everybody else, well, let's just leave it as a bit of a surprise for now. How about that? Down on the other end of pit lane, my cohort for this session, and thankfully the whole weekend, Nick Damon. Welcome to the qualifying session, Nick.
Thank you, Shay. Yes, and this is going to be the busy one. We've got 34 of the cars going out, two-thirds of the field. So unlike the next two sessions, the P2 and the GTPs, which have around about a dozen each, 11 and 13, this is where you're going to have to really intelligently think about finding space, make sure you get a clear lap, make sure you don't get impeded. And there is, of course, remember, a speed differential, because you've got the pros in the pro car and you've got the bronzes in the GTD cars. So it's going to be a really interesting session, and I'm sure we're going to have several drivers complaining, I didn't get a clear lap at the end of it.
Thank you, Nick. Nick Damon and Shea Adam are CrowdStrike pit lane reporters as the green flag is flying. Probably guessed that from the increase in volume from down on the track. Jeremy Shaw alongside me here in the broadcast centre, the IMSA Global Broadcast Centre here at Sebring. We are maybe 10, 15 yards upstream, if you will, towards turn one from the stripe. Beautiful conditions again here, Jeremy. 28 in the air, 25 on the track. That's 82 Fahrenheit in the air, 77 on the track. Pick a couple of pulls at us from this lot.
Yeah, never easy in this championship, is it? Look, Jack Hawksworth is always a good bet for a pole position.
Lexus have been strong already.
Lexus have been strong. Everybody's again. Been strong. I tell you what, yeah, there's been some balance and performance changes to the specs of the cars since Daytona, but Daytona is such a different track. And even if you compare the BOP now to the end of last season at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, I'm not sure it really translates, because the teams have got a lot more familiarity with the cars since then. So it's wide open is basically what I'm trying to tell you here. For GTD, if you look at the practice times, Parker Thompson, again for Lexus, Vassar Sullivan, he was on the pole for GTD at Daytona. He set the fastest lap yesterday in the practice sessions. And my bet's going to be on Parker. He's got good experience around here in the past in open wheel cars, and he's just riding the crest of a wave. He's always riding the crest of a wave. He's got such a bubbly personality, and boy, can he drive. So yeah, from Canada, Red Deer Alberta in Canada, I go for Parker Thompson in GTD.
Okay, excellent stuff. And it will be a couple of laps before we get the times coming through. It's very busy out on the track. 34 cars, and these are only the GT runners, of course. I mean, honestly, there are series that would be delighted with this field, Jeremy, as a full field. Absolutely. And we haven't even added in the prototypes yet.
Yeah, no, it's crazy, isn't
and
it?
There's quality all the way through this field, not just in the manufacturers and the drivers, but the teams. There's no make weight anymore here, and you can't afford to be complacent here.
Now, you'd always say in the past, you know, there's, well, in the long distance past, there'd be a few front runners, and the rest were sort of, you know, if they had a sniff of it, they'd need a lot of good fortune to have a sniff of even a podium. Nowadays, everybody has a sniff at a podium, without exception. And that's how far this IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship Series has come. And it just shows, you know, that's why it's so popular. That's why we've got so many cars, so many teams, and so many fans here this weekend as well. Just a glorious sight all the way around here. This is what motor racing is all about for me.
I'll just let the cars get up to pace. Madison Snow comes down to turn 15 and 16 before he heads onto the Ullman Straight and down towards turn 17. It's called Sunset. You will find out why when we get to this evening and around about 7:35 tomorrow night as well. Beautiful. Photographer's dream, this place. Sun comes up over turn 1, goes down over turn 17. Great sunrise yesterday morning. It was a little bit foggy this morning, actually. A little bit of a low-lying mist, which always puts me in mind of Le Mans, actually. That time of the year, mid-June, in the Sarthe region of France, you'll often get a little bit of temperature inversion that just has a low-lying mist on the top of the grass. And that's exactly what it was like this morning. So let's see the times. What time should we be seeing, Jeremy, as Sheena Monk goes to the top for Gradient in the Acura? 2:03.991. They were battling electrical problems earlier in the week, but the car running nicely now.
Yeah, well, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if we saw a sub 2 minute lap. I mean, the lap record for GTD Pro is 59.3. That was set last year by Antonio Garcia. The fastest lap we've seen so far, well, this, I was going to say this week, but just yesterday, because all three practice sessions were yesterday. The fastest lap was set by Jack Hawksworth in the number 14 GTD Pro Vassar Sullivan Lexus, the 2:02.02. But I'd be surprised if we didn't get sub 2 minutes today in qualifying.
Jeremy Shaun, John Heindorf in the Global Broadcast Centre. Let's wait to see these times coming down. Joey Hand, Ford Multimatic. The two Mustangs sat out a full session yesterday, Jeremy, but nothing sinister there. That was as we thought at the time, or at least we had a bit of speculation because nobody really wanted to say too much, but as we thought at the time, that was planned. They felt they didn't need the extra mileage, and crucially, they're saving resources.
Yeah, exactly right. And same with Paul Miller Racing, number one BMW. That's the reason that car didn't go out for one of the sessions as well. They've got 16 sets of tyres, I think it is, to last them through the entire race week here.
15,
is it?
Yeah.
And so, you know, the 12-hour race, a pit stop every hour. So there's 12 or 13 sets.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. 12 sets, basically. So, you know, that... and for the three practice sessions plus qualifying, you'll use a set fresh set for qualifying as well. So if you want fresh sets for every stint during the race, then it leaves you two sets for the other three practice sessions.
Here come the quick flying laps on the second of the flying laps. So at the end of their lap three, they've done a couple of preparation laps on the tyres, and all of a sudden we've got four cars under that magic 2 minute mark, with Chetelaar Racing and Antonio Fuoco the first one to go through and went to the top. Actually, he's still the fastest GTD car, but now he's got four cars quicker than him, in the shape of Davide Rigon for Racing Competition in fourth, Seb Priol for EO Racing in third, Alex Sims in second, and in fact Mick Grenier has just taken the GTD provisional pole with a 59.4. But ahead of everybody, Super Mario Farnbacher for Hartner Racing Aston Martin, the number 23, 159.264. So that's now, what, half a dozen cars under 2 minutes. Make that seven cars, yeah, under 2 minutes, so as Mike Rockenfeller. No, he's just outside. So who's just dropped in there? Frank Pereira for Iron Lynx in the Lamborghini, number 19.
Yeah, so I'm not surprised we're under 2 minutes. What I am surprised is that seven of them on the first flying lap, perhaps. But, yeah, no, that's... I spoke to Mario yesterday, had a nice little chat. He's such a great guy as well, isn't he? And you know, he's still getting used to this Aston Martin, of course, having driven the last several years with Acura and different manufacturers before that. But, you know, he's not a full-time driver really these days. He's still heavily involved in the family car dealerships in Germany. Comes back and forth, but he's just plug and play. But he's still getting used to this Aston Martin. And, you know, I know he's excited about the opportunity to qualify it here.
Here's Jack Hawksworth in the 50th anniversary livery for the half century of Mobil 1. He goes across the line and takes provisional pole position for GTD Pro with a 58. A 58.7. Antonio Fuoco's just gone through as well, and he's down to a 59 flat. So Antonio back to the top for Chetelaar, the blue Ferrari, number 47 in GTD. So it's Lexus, Ferrari, Aston, Mercedes, Lexus, Chevrolet, Corvette, Lamborghini, BMW, Corvette and Porsche for your top 10. Nice spread of manufacturers there.
Yeah, and for GTD, the non-pro section, it's a bit confusing because that you can have a pro driver in the car, and it used to be that the lesser experienced driver had to qualify and start the race, but that was changed a year or two ago. So now any of the drivers can. I mean, Antonio Fuoco, he's a factory Ferrari driver, for goodness sake. So, you know, he is one of the pros. So yeah, it's all fair in love and war, right? GTD Pro lap time there set by Joel Hawksworth, that is a new lap record. The GTD record, and actually not quite, because a few years ago, back in actually 2018, Daniel Serra set the GTD mark at a 158.710. Okay, we've had slightly different tyres, different all sorts of things since then, but he's fractionally outside that is Antonio Fuoco.
Yeah, it's a good point that you make, as I'm waiting for Parker Thompson to come round in the number 12 Vassar Sullivan Lexus. That is the standard coloured car. Gets a nice little draft from Fuoco, actually, down the Ullman Straight. This is the GTD car. New Michelin tyre for this year. Slightly different, a bit to push the cars and teams to try and double stint the tyres in the long distance races. So a slightly different setup required to get them switched on. Fuoco pits, and Parker Thompson improves his time. Fourth position overall, third in GTD. Hawksworth with the GTD Pro, then three GTD cars, as Phil Ellis has gone to the front row now with a 58.778 for Wynwood Racing. I talked with Russell Ward early in the weekend, and he said, I think we're going to be all right here. I think we're going to be all right.
He's not lying.
He said, when I said to him, what are you after? He went, a victory. And I went, class victory? He said, no, overall victory.
Yeah.
I think we can get there. And certainly impressive by Phil Ellis in that car. And we should say that if it stayed like this, that car would start on the front row. We do not split GTD Pro and GTD after the qualifying session. So these times are setting their positions. So when I say it's number one is Jack Hawksworth, number two is Phil Ellis, that is how they would line up.
Indeed so. And if Phil Ellis could find another 68 thousandths of a second, then he will 69 thousandths of a second, he will pip Daniel Serra's GTD official lap record around here, but he's a little bit outside of it right now, but clearly a new GTD Pro lap record for Jack Hawksworth. As I said a little earlier, the lap record in qualifying for GTD Pro, Tony came on board a couple of years ago, is a 159.315, so comfortably inside that, 0.6 of a second inside that is Jack Hawksworth. It's only some half right. And then behind that pro car are those three non-pro cars, Phil Ellis in the Mercedes, the Ferrari of Antonio Fuoco, and Parker Thompson in the second of the Lexus. So it's Lexus, Lexus, Mercedes, Ferrari, Lexus, Aston Martin, Mercedes, then the best of Chevrolets, that's Alexander Sims, birthday boy, in car number three, third fastest in GTD Pro. Then the best of Lamborghinis, that's Frank Pereira, in a pro
just
car number 19. Okay. And then Seb Prio, who's on the pole at Daytona, in that AO Racing Rexy Porsche. So all sorts of manufacturers in there. Top, just outside the top 10 is Madison Snow in the Paul Miller Racing BMW.
And the recent competition Ferrari, Davide Rigon in 10th, by the way. He just set that time. I'm impressed at the longevity of these Michelin tyres. People on their sixth lap still putting in their fastest laps of this session with just on a minute and a half to go. Who's out of position? Let's have a look down to see who we thought might have been further up the field.
Davide Rigon for me.
Yeah, I'd agree. Only in 10th overall, 6th in class. At the moment, so he's starting on the at the moment on the outside of row number five, and that could get spicy when you're that far deep in the grid.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. You think it's a 12-hour race, guys? Why are you getting so excited about qualifying? Bad things happen in the middle of the pack. Look, bad things can happen anywhere. We know that, but it's more likely to happen in the early running in the middle of the pack. You get track position here. You get the opportunity to dictate pace, to dictate strategy. It opens up the strategy window too, and you are far less likely to be getting involved in other people's problems.
Fair comment.
Plus there's bragging rights till tomorrow morning, in fairness. That's really important for racing drivers and teams.
Yes it is.
So Hawksworth's pitted. That 158.714 is going to be standing against his particular time, so that's not going to get improved. That was on his fourth lap. Phil Ellis is still out, but his last lap was a 204, so he's either doing a cool down lap to go one more time in the Winwood Mercedes AMG GT3, which he was moving very slowly when I saw him at the far side of the circuit. Now, has he just pitted, or is he about to come round and start another lap? Let me lean out to the left and see if he's just headed to the pit lane. And there's the number three Gould Corvette coming in. Both the Corvettes Gould this weekend. Again, all part of the Mobil 1 50th birthday celebrations. Phil Ellis has done a very, very slow lap if he hasn't come into the pits. Here, another car. That is the Dex Imaging number 45 Lamborghini.
Also, Adam Adelson coming into the pit lane in car number...
Ellis has pitted.
120.
Yeah. Finishing off
that. Adam Adelson did a really good job yesterday.
He did.
He's 15th now in GTD for his second start in the IMSA World Tech Sports Car Championship. John Potter's done a very respectable job too for Magnus Racing, car number 44, right behind Adelson and ahead of Ian James in the Harder Racing Aston Martin, car number 27. So hats off there to John Potter, ahead of Gabby Chavez as well in the Andretti Autosport Porsche, car number 43. Yeah, some good efforts in there. Gianmarco Leverato in the Privateer Proton Ford Mustang, 12th position in the class, right behind Joey Hand in the factory car.
I like the fact that we've got the two pole sitters on the front row. There's a nice bit of symmetry towards that. So Jack Hawksworth will be talking to in a moment from Fassa Sullivan, capturing pole position for the GTD Pro, Phil Ellis for Winwood Racing. And I may be tempting fate by saying this, Jeremy, but I'm going to say it anyway. I am tremendously impressed that with 34 cars out there, everybody got round unscathed.
Yeah, true. Isn't that a good point? Yeah, that was a fun session. There's still somebody else out there. Who's that? That was John Potter again, I think. Did he improve on that lap? No, he was actually faster in the middle sector on that final lap was John Potter in car number 44, the Magnus Racing Aston Martin. But he didn't quite improve his time overall. But I'd say that's a good effort for him. He generally languishes a little bit on the field. But hats off to John Potter. So any major surprises in there? Not really. Certainly an excellent lap there for sure. But for Phil Ellis in that Windward Racing Mercedes, a car, of course, that won at Daytona, so they've already got their season off to a fabulous start.
In so many ways, because it's not just the beautiful Rolex Daytona Cosmograph, but a lot of points on the season, and that gets you cracking. At IMSA Radio, if you'd like to get in touch with us, hello to all of you on 100.9 FM, Blur Fiend, Richard P, all enjoying the sunshine here and the 29 degree air temperature. That's 84 in the air.
At least. Is that all it is?
Well, you mentioned that in the shade.
It's quite humid, though, isn't it?
60% the official. It's 84 across the board Fahrenheit track and air temperature. It's as hot as we've seen the track all week, that actually. It's been peaking out around about 25, 26 Celsius, so just on 80 Fahrenheit. But the sun was out early this morning. There's been little or no cloud cover, so it is a bit of a strange surface here with it being so light, the concrete being so light. Just waiting for our Paul Sinners to go down to the end of the pit lane and meet up with our CrowdStrike pit lane squad, Nick Damon and Shay Adam. They haven't had the wave off yet from the IMSA officials. They're just waiting for pit lane to clear. Well, Phil Ellis is in fact down at the far end of the pit lane in the car that he shares with Russell Ward and Indy Doncic. He's taking his helmet off and about to speak. Shay Adam is there, and so is Nick Damon. This CrowdStrike pit report.
Just coming up to Phil, fantastic performance there. Your second pole with the car, and last one was Daytona last year, so you like the big races.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I think the last 2 years since we've been here, we've always been quite fast. So it's nice to put up in pole this year again here at Sebring. The first time for me actually here. And I think last year we missed out by a couple of tenths to Kyle. So, definitely a good start, but it unfortunately doesn't mean much for the race.
One lap pace is fantastic. It's a 12-hour race, but I understand Russell Ward, the man with his name above the door, thinks you can win overall GTD, GTD Pro.
I mean, I'd like to think so, yeah. I think our long-run pace looks pretty strong, especially going into the night. During the day, it looks like we struggle a bit compared to the competition on tie wear. So it'll be an interesting race, I think. Who knows, maybe other guys were a bit more conservative in qualifying, not to show all of the cards, but we'll find out tomorrow evening.
Yeah, well done.
Thank you.
Shay Adam just waiting for Jack Hawksworth, who is literally trundling down the pit lane at the moment in his number 14 Vassar Sullivan. Phil Ellis is such a calm character. We've watched his racing for a number of years. Very good on the Nürburgring Nordschleife. New season of Nürburgring racing and a new championship kicks off next weekend on the Nürburgring Nordschleife. There's a test day and some taxi rides on the Friday and the Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon, a couple of races on the Grand Prix circuit for the brand new NES Nürburgring Endurance Series. We'll have that covered for you next weekend live in sound and vision. No blocks for you, so if you're missing your IMSA fix for a couple of weeks until we give you our next round on the streets of Long Beach for the Long Beach Grand Prix, then you can catch up with a little bit of Nürburgring Endurance Series. That's not tomorrow, but a week on Saturday. If you check RadioLeMans.com, we have all the details there. Right, back to tomorrow, and the pole sitter in GTD Pro is Jack Hawksworth for Vassar Sullivan.
And a very cool celebration for Jack Hawksworth, because not only was he greeted by his entire crew, including Travis, who's currently mobility limited, we'll say. You had to scoot all the way down here. But Jack, you got the revving of the engine from the team car as well. A job well done. You already are a very accomplished guy as far as pole positions are concerned. But what does it mean to get one here at Sebring?
This is nice. I don't think I've had one here before. Oh. So this is, this is cool. And obviously big race, so it's always nice to start at the front. And it was a tricky qualifying session. It was so hot. So tyre prep, all that kind of stuff was really important. And guys at Vast Sullivan absolutely nailed it. So. Yeah, we're in a good spot, and nice to start there for sure. Obviously, tomorrow's 12-hour race, and so much is going to happen. We obviously had the incident at Daytona, but the guys obviously, you know, really just dug deep since then, and we turned up here, and we feel like we're really strong. So, and then we've got the super fast golden black Mobil 1 livery as well, which looks sick. So, I'm ready to rip tomorrow, and get after it, really. Go have some fun.
How much life is left in the tyres after you were pushing so hard to get that time in?
Hopefully a lot, because we probably need to use these at some point tomorrow. So, I think it was okay. They had a really nice balance on the car, so it wasn't like I was sliding one end or the other. So hopefully I should have quite nice tyres if we use them tomorrow.
Good luck in tomorrow's race, and congrats on pole.
Appreciate it. Thank you to the whole team. Thank you to Mobil 1 for this livery, and my teammates, Nobody. Awesome.
The unmistakable northern tones of Jack Hawksworth. What an absolute start. He is Shea Adam and Nick Damon, our CrowdStrike pit lane reporters. Right, that's the busy one out of the way. 34 cars with everybody putting in a meaningful lap time, except the Iron Dames. Sarah Bovey just did a couple of laps and retired to the pit lane. So whether that was a problem for the number 83 Lamborghini Huracan or... whether it was a deliberate ploy. Claudio Schiavone for Iron Lynx only in 33rd position as well. So, as I say, that's the busy one, yeah. Jeremy, out
yeah.
of the way.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, and that was clean, so that bodes well. Schiavone, of course, he's the non-pro driver in that GTD Pro entry. I mean, that car would be eligible to run in GTD because of the fact that Schiavone is a bronze-rated driver, but they've elected to run in the pro category, and so that's where he is. And, he's at the back of the field at the moment. Yeah, curious that the sister car for Sarah Bovey didn't go out at all. It did go out of the pits, so it clearly had some sort of a problem.
Basically an out and back.
Yeah.
So it may have had a problem. They may just be saving tyres. I don't know. We'll see if our CrowdStrike pit lane team can find that out. We just had a visitation from a legend.
Yes, we did. Where'd you run away? Hopefully he'll come back during
We'll grab him during the race if he's around.
He's not sure what he's going to say tomorrow, but he'll be here this afternoon yet. John Bright, who was he was the crew chief on the Coca-Cola Porsche 962 when it won here at Sebring back in, what was that, 86 or about 85, 86? Yeah. A while ago.
He was a very young lad
in those days. John himself has driven in the 12 hours.
Yep.
He drove a Mustang around about that time as well. So, yeah, a legend in the sport. One of those guys who he did everything. Accomplished driver, a crew chief, engineer, coach, you name it. John Bright has done it.
Yeah.
Back for a visit.
Probably forgotten more about motor racing than most of us will ever know.
Yes.
And every single part of it.
Yes.
As well, we might
Maori
say.
Maori part legend is John Bright from Leicester. And, still part of the racing scene. Great to see him back again.
Yeah, we've gone green for the second part of qualifying. This is LMP2. Delighted to see almost a dozen of these cars. In fact, no, have we?
Yeah, what, 13?
13, isn't it? Yeah, so Baker's dozen. Indeed. Of these cars.
You're not going to ask me to pick a pole sitter out of this lot, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, of course, in LMP2, it is the bronze driver that has to qualify.
Correct.
The car. That's which I like. I think they should be doing the same in GTD, quite frankly, or otherwise just have an overall classification for GTD and then sort of split them up after that. But, I mean, yes, in terms of points, but that's too complicated. Regularly, you put your money on Ben Keating, don't you, to win the pole in LMP2?
Yeah.
Am I going to go away from that one? I can't, can I, really? Because you're going to ask me who my pick would be. So how would you bet against Ben Keating? Having said that, George Kurtz is driving absolutely superbly these days. Stephen Thomas They've got a point to prove, really, in a TDS racing car number 11. That's that bright yellow car.
Gar Robinson. Gar Robinson likes a bit of qualifying.
Yep. Yep.
Particularly around here.
Yeah, and the other dark horse here is somebody who really only started racing 2 or 3 years ago. That would be PJ Hyatt.
Totally agree.
In the number 99 car for AO Racing.
Also
the Dragon car.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Dragon Speed car, which is number 81. Which will be driven by Henrik Hedman. I thought he'd retired, Henrik, but he saw how much fun the race was at Daytona, I think. I haven't had a chance to see him, but I presume he thought, I missed this, I've got to come back. So
now, I suspect that these guys will stay out for the full 15 minutes and just get quicker and quicker as they burn off the VP racing fuel. 12 and a half minutes of the 15 remaining. So let's keep an eye. The 04 CrowdStrike cars just gone through to start lap. The number 18 blue and silver era car through turn number one. At the moment, that's got Dwight Merriman behind the wheel. The CrowdStrike cars, the red, white and black 04, just going under the Corvette and Mission Foods drive over bridge. So down towards the exit of turn 4-5 through the kink at 6 and now down to the braking area at turn 7. Nice and tight to the blue and white curbs on the Apex. George Kurtz, who's been working with Colin Brown for well over a decade now and just getting better and better. The quality and the pace of the non-pro drivers. So Stefan Wendt from AMG says late starting professionals, which I really like as a term, because they take their racing very seriously. They are fit in mind and body. Maybe they can't get to the track quite as much to do testing because they, generally speaking, are doing rather well in business. And you don't do rather well in business by not being at your desk and making corporate decisions. However, in every other respect, these guys are really looking very hard at their racing career. Data-driven, in particular for George Kurtz, that's his business, cybersecurity for CrowdStrike. Ben Keating's learned to read the data down through the years as well.
George Kurtz was last year's Truman Award winner.
Which took him to Le Mans, of course, got the Le Mans entry, and then won his class at Le Mans in the Pro-Am section of LMP2 at Le Mans.
Yeah.
CrowdStrike APR.
Didn't they win the Asian Le Mans Series, didn't they, as well, just recently?
Yeah.
Ian Collin.
Yeah, Stuart Cox, had a chat with him at breakfast. He is the APR part of CrowdStrike Racing with APR. That's Algarve Pro Racing. Can't miss Stuart, big tall lad. And calls a spade a shovel. Been around a long time, and he and his wife Sam run a very, very tight ship indeed at Algarve Pro Racing, won just about everything over in Europe. Keeping an eye on the times, Nick Damon has a CrowdStrike pit lane report to try and square the circle a little bit and finish off that story of the Iron Dame Sarah Bovey with just an out and in lap, Nick.
Massive bad luck, picked up a puncture on that outlap, and you're not allowed to change tyres in qualifying, so nothing they could do.
No, and that means they've lost a set of tyres as well. Big sideways moment for Ben Keating coming up to turn number 3. Now we have,
man, that was a slide, wasn't it?
That was a very long slide indeed. Got through turn 1 and 2, turn, oh, something snapped at the back. That was like pulling on the parking brake.
That was almost like rallying on ice. That was extraordinary.
Look,
pull on the handbrake. Yeah.
Was that a diff lock when he downshifted?
He's already done one lap, so that was weird.
It was a heck of a save because he just actually clicked down a couple of gears and drove off as if he'd planned to. No, that's how I was going to rotate the car into the corner. Actually, brilliant stuff from Ben. It won't have done the tyres any good. Going sideways for a little bit.
We can see a vibration from that onboard.
Yeah,
but shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Now, is that an opportunity for George Kurtz then to take advantage? We should be looking for what? A 51 or a high 50 here, do you think, Jeremy?
Poll last year, at this race was Ben Keating at a 51.7.
Right. Well, we're already down to 52 sixes.
Yeah.
So we're not a million miles away, considering they've only done one flying lap. The cars will get lighter and they will get quicker. Switching on these tyres, not an easy thing to do. Yeah. And it's something that non-pro drivers tend to have to work at. So it tends to be they work up to maybe third or fourth flying lap, and then possibly even one after that.
Yeah, I mean, the fastest lap that has been turned by an LMP2 car yesterday were all turned by the pro drivers. It was the number 11 car of Mikkel Jensen actually turned a 51.3.
Wow.
I think we might well be down to close to those times once these guys get done with it.
PJ Hyatt laying down some Michelin rubber out of turn seven in Spike. Spike is the Purple Dragon car. The sound of the V8 engine humming away at the back of that LMP2. New set of P2 regulations coming soon, but based on the same chassis that we have in GTP. So all of the chassis manufacturers that are in GTP, those will be eligible for LMP2 competition in a couple or 3 years' time. Still waiting to see the full specification of that.
Oh, yeah, one guy I forgot to talk about.
PJ Hyatt to the top, by the way, in Spike.
Yeah, is Nick Boole in the PR1 by Inter-Europol. Was that the other way around?
Inter-Europol by PR1, yes.
Inter-Europol by PR1 Matthews and Motorsports, yeah. But it's the PR1 team, so Bobby Orogel's team and Leslie and Ron Mathiasen. But they... He was super, super impressive at Daytona, Nick Boole, having not driven a prototype car for several years, not driven any car for pretty much a whole year, and qualified second, I think, only to Ben Keating at Daytona. So really, really good pace from him. But PJ Hart, yeah, he's really come on strong. He's turned, 52.1.
Oh, spin at turn seven for the Era 18 car. Dwight Merriman recovers. That lap's gone. Dan Goldberg to second, just a tenth away or so.
Yeah, there you go.
More locked rear brakes, I think, for Dwight, but he did a bit of rally crossing and continued. LMP2's here still running the reduced power. About to go back to almost full power for the European Le Mans Series season. Still, I think, 30 or 40 horsepower down on their absolute maximum from a few years ago. My goodness, go and have a look at the lap times from Imola last Sunday and Monday in the test. They were very, very quick indeed. And significantly quicker on a relatively short lap at Imola than the LMH cars, including the Porsche Penske Motorsport 963. Now they won't compete together in those specifications because at Le Mans they'll be turned back down again. But that just reminds us what very good racing cars these LMP2s are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the lap record for LMP2s in unrestricted form over here was set back in 2022. By Guido van der Garde, actually during the race, he turned at 148.311.
Yeah.
So that kind of shows you. I was just looking down the lap times that were set by the individual drivers yesterday during the three practice sessions, and none of the bronze-rated drivers managed better than, I think it was 53.3 for Nick Boole yesterday. Dan Goldberg, almost identical time. Ben Keating a fraction behind as well, and George Kurtz and PJ Hyatt all very close, but they're all going quicker than that now.
Luis Perez Compank briefly reliving his rally days in turn number 10 and gets back on. It's still PJ Hyatt. In fact, he's just improved last time around to a 52.1. Now a slower lap from him. Nick Boole with a 52.7, good enough for fourth position on his fifth lap around. George Kurtz in the 04 CrowdStrike Racing by Algarve, P3 Pro Racing, 153.5. Ben Keating, a 52.7 last time around, a tenth away from his best. How much performance is left in these tyres, and indeed in the drivers?
There goes number 52 car headed towards the hairpin, the yellow car. Oh, now it's the green car. Depends on which side you're looking from. It's yellow on the left, a green on the right.
That's
distinctive into Europol colours.
Yeah, it's a slightly sort of satin finish to it. Looks great. As my father would have said, God rest his soul, well, it might not be pretty, but it'll confuse the witnesses. Actually, I think that's a really nice colour scheme. They've made that their own, haven't they? The bright green and yellow. More of a gold colour this weekend. Gold seems to be in
at
the Mobile 1 12 Hours of Sebring. A lot of the Mobile 1 associated teams and partner teams running either special decals or complete special liveries, with both the Corvettes running in gold, both the works, semi-works, work-supported Pratt Miller cars are running in gold.
Dennis Anderson
in the number 20, red, white and black high-class racing car. MDK by high-class racing this year.
The surprise for me at the moment is the fact that George Kurtz in car number 04 and Stephen Thomas in car number 11 are 6th and 7th on the timing. And
they're, a full second to win.
Yeah, more than a second behind PJ Hyatt.
Who's pitted?
We heard from Matt Brabham yesterday. He spoke to one of our CrowdStrike pit lane reporters, and he was saying how impressed he has been with PJ. Was that stopped? Or was that?
Dennis Anderson has come to a dead stop in the turning point for turn seven with a minute and a half to go. I paused for a moment because I wasn't sure if the pictures had frozen, but then I could see one of the photographers' shuttle buses moving in the background. Thank you, Aaron, for telling us that was indeed stopped. Aaron is the voice in my ear
that
comes from Concord. There goes the Inter-Europol car. Nick Bull. Shout out to our hard-working team, both here at the track and up at Concord in that brand new broadcast centre. And Nick,
it's bizarre. It's come to ground to a halt there. I mean,
these cars up, Jeremy. Is that? Can I see Michelin?
Yeah, red flag has had to come out.
Had to be a red flag. Yeah. We won't restart now either. And don't forget, his two fastest laps will disappear as well. So Dennis Anderson's going to end up at the back of the LMP2 grid. Yeah. So we'd seen him off track and spinning at turn four. He got back on and continued. But has he done some damage, perhaps, that the team have either told him to stop the car? Now I'm waiting to see if it'll flat tow or whether it needs a lift.
Mm.
But at the end of the session, and the checkered flag is out, by the way, it is Spike and PJ Hyatt on pole position by just under 0.2 seconds from Daniel Goldberg for United Autosports. And Ben Keating pulled himself up on his last flying lap up to third position in the wins number two United Autosports USA car. Then Nick Bull for Inter-Europol by PR1 Matheson, the green and yellow car. Then it'll be the orange and blue 74 from Riley. George Kurtz for the red, white and black 04 CrowdStrike Racing by APR. Stephen Thomas on the inside of row number four for TDS. He'll have Luis Perez Compang in the Richard Mille AF Corsa number 88. Then Henrik Edmund for Dragon Speed in ninth. Dennis Anderson's 10th position will disappear, I'm pretty certain. And Dwight Merriman, John Ferrano and possibly Lance Wilsey, but certainly those two will get promoted ahead because he will lose his fastest two laps for bringing out a red flag. Dennis is fine, by the way. He's out of the car, heading towards the intervention vehicle. And we have got a tow truck there with a lift, just waiting for the Porsche Cayenne from EMR to turn up, and it has done. So Dennis will be going back with Porsche V8 power rather than his Gibson V8 that he expected to take him back to the pit lane. So PJ Hyatt making his way down to the end of pit lane to be greeted by our CrowdStrike pit lane team. Nick Damon and Shea Adam on duty for us. And I think it's Nick. Nick, are you down at the far end? Have you?
I am. PJ is here. He's out the car. He's taking his helmet off. He's having a good old conversation with TV.
We'll allow our NBC colleagues to get their interview first, and then Nick will swoop in as only Nick can. Yeah, that now I'm pretty certain now that that was not in the gift of Dennis Anderson, because that car's had to be lifted onto a flatbed. They couldn't even use the roll back. I reckon the back end's locked up on that car. We'll get some news from the pit in a moment after this CrowdStrike pit lane report with our AO Racing driver PJ Hyatt in Spike pole position for the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring tomorrow in LMPT.
He's just getting a bit of a cuddle from Paul Shatter. Peter, congratulations, your first pole.
Yeah, I'm kind of speechless about what's happening here. Sebring is one of the greatest tracks in the world, and to get pole in a P2 car is a dream come true. I can't believe it. I honestly can't believe it.
Did you just hit the ground feeling comfortable? Is it something in the air?
It's really hot in the air, though. That's the thing. Generally, I don't particularly like being super hot in a race car, but the car's hooked up. The team did an amazing job getting it set up, and all I had to do was steer it in the right direction.
Did you feel it was a good lap? Was it the best you could do?
To be honest, I felt like one of these guys. You know, Ben Keating is my friggin' hero. The fact that I was able to out-qualify him, I was convinced he was going to run a faster lap than me, so I was honestly a little disappointed. But the fact that that it worked out is sort of unbelievable. Yeah, I'm very, very happy.
So pole at Sebring to fill up your pole at Dubai, your mixing series, but the same result, front of the grid.
Yeah, I'll take it. I mean, obviously, tomorrow is the big challenge. It's a long race. It's going to be a hot race. A lot of tire drag and all kinds of fun traffic issues in the 12-hour. It's a big field, but that's the fun part.
Great stuff. Thanks, PJ.
Thank you.
Who is going to be on the overall pole position for the 72nd annual Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring? Well, we know now who's going to be trying for it. Interesting, in the number 85, JDC Miller Motorsport Porsche, this car was very quick yesterday in the hands of Phil Hansen. Phil Hansen will be qualifying that car. It's the debut for the SC63, and Iron Lynx has elected to let Matteo Cairoli do qualifying for its first ever session. Wayne Taylor Racing with Andretti Autosport have two cars, one of which had an engine change last night and completely missed practice three. That was the 40. That's the red one with the Dex Imaging sponsorship on it. Louis Delatraz, who last got pole position in his last qualifying attempt, which was at Motul Petit Le Mans, will be trying for it again, but he's going to have to fend off the guy who's got more pole positions than anyone else in category. That would be Mr. Ricky Taylor. Ricky hasn't had a podium pole position for a very long time. He'll be qualifying the number 10 at Konica Minolta Acura. Pippo Durrani has become a bit of a qualifying specialist, though. He's got 9 pole positions to his name, including the first round of the championship. But unfortunately for him, he gets pole position here every other year. Since he got it last year, well, he thought, why bother trying to go qualifying again? No, just kidding. He is going to be qualifying in the number 31 Whelen Engineering Cadillac for today. In BMW world, we have Connor DeFilippi going out for the pole position. His previous pole came in GTLM here back in 2018. He's now trying to go for the overall pole in the number 25. Meanwhile, Philip Eng will be doing qualifying duties for the sister car, the number 24. It's Julian Anlauer who's going to be doing qualifying for the Proton Porsche. That is the other privateer Porsche. And the two Penske Porsches, they're going to have Felipe Nasser in the number 7 and Mathieu Jaminet in the number 6. And I've saved possibly the shiniest car for last. That would be the gold Cadillac, and yes, gold for this weekend. The 01 Chip Ganassi Racing. It's Cadillac Racing, and Cadillac, the main sponsor of this car. Well, I'll tell you what, nobody wants this pole position more than Sebastian Bourdais. He's already been on pole here twice before, and he's been second last year, very, very narrowly behind Pippo Durrani. Seb is going to be doing the qualifying duties for the 01 here today.
Sure, Adam, with the rundown of the drivers. Before that, Nick Damon with PJ Hyatt pole position for his AO Racing number 99 Spike the Dragon. and a time of 1:52.142. He'll be on pole for the 72nd running of the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring in LMP2. Earlier on, it was Jack Hawksworth for Vassar Sullivan that took the GTD Pro pole, just ahead of Phil Ellis for Windward Racing in the Mercedes, number 57. He will be on the GTD standard pole, if you will. So the two pole sitters will start on the front row. Now, I've got to work that out to see if they will actually. Is it an even or an odd number of cars ahead of him? It's an even number, so yes, they will be starting side by side on the front row tomorrow morning. Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring coverage starting at 9 o'clock local time on Saturday with our Michelin countdown to green before we go green flag at 9:40, 20 minutes before 10 here at Sebring. RS2 around the world, 100.9 FM here at Sebring International Raceway. We'll switch on SiriusXM 206 for the whole race tomorrow, as well as our AM service, as we take over the Voice of Sport in the Central Highlands. Highlands ESPN 1063 AM taking our race call as well. That's all tomorrow. For now, we've got to find out who will be having the honour of leading this huge field around to the green flag at 9:40 tomorrow morning, as we're getting ready to release the GTPs. Just a little bit of a delay whilst the errant number 20 high class racing car is brought back safely. We were wondering why Dennis had looked like he'd abandoned the car. Looked like someone had taken a picture of him just turning in from the turning point to the apex at turn 7, but the car was required to be lifted onto the flatbed, and suggesting to me that, along with the witness marks behind the rear Michelin tyres, that the drive line had locked up in some way, shape or form, whether that was differential or gearbox or a combination of the two. But it was quite clear that that car wasn't going to take a flat tour or even be winched onto the back of the rollback. Under a minute before the green flag, Shea left the Cadillacs till last in the fight for pole for the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring presented by Cadillac. She left the 01 golden Cadillac till last with Sebastian Borte. I think the Cadillacs have looked very good over the bumps here. Of this GTP field, I've always felt the Cadillacs work the best on bumpy circuits, from the first time I ever saw them out clattering the curbs in a test after Motul Petit Le Mans a couple of years ago. Green flag, Shea Adam has a nugget for us before we start getting times.
Because I'm a nerd, and I know.
You're our nerd, though,
yeah,
Shea.
Yeah. I did an average based on the qualifying gaps in this class since the merge at Sebring, 0.158 of a second, and it is the closest gap of any category to run in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship as far as averages are concerned.
At this track?
At this track. The largest gap was in 2015 when that was Olivier Pla out-qualified Ryan Dial. It was 0.3 of a second between the two of them.
Wow.
The smallest gap was when Sebastian Borde put it on pole in 2022. He was 0.026 ahead of Pipo Durrani. Those are Mazda MX-5 Cup gaps.
Yeah, over 3¾ miles, let's not forget. All right. Whichever is your favourite, the next 15 minutes will decide. And with the tyre situation and the heat of the day now, that's coming up to 20 minutes before 2 o'clock in the afternoon, just after 29 in the air, 26 on the track. So the track temperature's actually gone down a couple of degrees since we started qualifying. That's 84 Fahrenheit in the air, 79 Fahrenheit on track. That's much more the sort of temperature we've seen on the concrete in the earlier part of this week. That's 84 across the board at the start of this session was a little bit hot for what we've seen. These should be the best of the conditions for qualifying. The most rubber laid down. We haven't had any, not even a shower overnight since we arrived here, at least on Monday. So the track evolution continues right now, and there's no rain in the forecast overnight either. The competition debut in IMSA sanctioned racing for the SC63 Lamborghini, sitting in behind the 01 Cadillac at the moment as they go down the Ullman straight. But it's the Whelen number 31 Cadillac that goes through first to start its fastest lap, followed by the number 10 Wayne Taylor with Andretti Racing Acura in the pit lane. Its team car, the number 40, also in the pit lane. The 25 BMW, both BMWs, 24 and 25. Now, Lamborghini has not started the lap either.
Well,
so very bizarre. No lap times here. And what you are allowed to change tyres in this age. It's the only qualifying session where you can change tyres. So that might be scrubbing in a set of tyres and then putting a brand new set on. Shea Adam is watching.
Affirmative for all the cars except for that 40. The Acura has yet to leave the pit lane, but the BMW, they're 25 going back out. There's the sound of that. And the Lamborghini, I saw it came back in as well for a change of tyres.
Right, okay. So not taking too much out of a set of tyres, just taking the release agent off the top, shininess off the top, which is going to cost them the best part of 5-6 minutes of running.
Yeah, and of course there's no warm-up this year. There's generally a warm-up here, so that's what they would generally
do
during a warm-up. But
look,
the other classes, it's the same, and the other class, you're not allowed to touch the car basically during qualifying. I really like that rule. It's nice and clean. Get out there, go set a lap time, then come back and park it in the pits.
Yeah. Hello, driver. This is what our much-missed friend Hugh Chamberlain would have said. You, driver, drive. Terrible news a couple of Wednesdays ago that we'd lost our friend, Bon Viver, great storyteller. And our thoughts with Gillian, with Small, and the rest of the family. Don't build them in any way like you, Huge. He was loving this renaissance of sports car racing, and I have no doubt that if he'd been around at Le Mans, he would have come in to tell us how he was scheming to get one of these LMDH cars and run it as a privateer, possibly the ultimate privateer in modern times at Le Mans. Ran everything, Jaguars, you name it. Much missed, you. 10 minutes to go then. It's Phil Hansen continuing the good form that he showed earlier in the week when he topped the times for JDC Miller Motorsports in the number 85. This is the yellow submarine or the banana boat. It is very yellow. John Church's team.
Yeah, and in fact, that was the fastest time of yesterday in GTP. By Phil Hansen, a 148.149. That was set in the afternoon session yesterday. I think pretty much everybody's going to go faster than that in this qualifying session.
Well, Phil used every inch of the runoff at turn one and about another inch and a half. He was dangling the right rear Michelin over the edge of the kerb, but without it dropping off, that was absolutely as far as he could go there. And he's pushing very early on. This is interesting. That was his first flying lap, and there's an off, and it's a Porsche, and it's the number 6 Porsche Penske Motorsport machine that has gone around. A lot of dust in the air on the far side of the circuit, and Mathieu Jaminet has brought out the red flag. Now, is that the exit of turn one? I think it might be. I think he's overcooked it at turn one. Yes, it is. But that means he's halfway down to turn three, actually, before he's come to a standstill. Now, that means his two fastest laps will disappear. And with 8.5 minutes to go, will he get more than two laps? Can he get it started? Oh, he's had a big moment. He's had a big moment at the exit of turn one. I suspect he's been across the grass, and it might have been Air Matty, or Air Jam Jam, actually, because there is an access road there. Yeah, he just went a tiny bit further over. He's clipped the wall on the right-hand side. I said that Phil Hansen had got it perfectly right. Jaminet 3 inches further across and hooked the curb, coming back on with the inside shoulder of the right rear. Slams into the wall, which is where one of our remote cameras are, just a little bit too far. Then the car snaps and hooks the curb, pitches up to the right and sideways, hard into the wall, front right, rear left contact. And that's going to be some work to do.
Yeah, it was just sort of 7/8 of the way through the corner. The car just took a hop, didn't it? And and with that hop, it went over onto the dirt, and then he was, well, got behind in his steering, as Richard Petty would have said.
That's quite a bit of damage on the bodywork. We need 10 minutes of green flag to make this an official session. Did he actually take the camera there? He may have done. There's something hanging from the front of the car. AMR safety team, of course, far more worried about the, and rightly so, about the state of the driver. Mathieu Jaminet climbs out with a little bit of assistance, but I think that was just out of concern from our AMR safety team. Yeah, hello to them all. I know they'll be listening on 100.9 FM. Hope you have a quiet weekend, ladies and gents. So from the Porsche, he expected to qualify to the back seat of the Cayenne rapid response vehicle. Mathieu Jaminet is on his way back to the pit lane. Now, the clock is still running. We need 10 minutes of green flag to make this official.
Yeah, how much did we have?
I think we had about 6. I forgot to look at the clock, to be honest, when the red flag came out. We had about 6 minutes of green, I reckon, possibly even 7. So we might only need 3 or 4 minutes. There are 5 minutes and 42 seconds remaining. But we're not going to be going green immediately with the clear up that needs to be done on the exit of turn one heading towards turn two. So the question will be then, are we able to extend this session? And by the way, I'm told from Aaron that our camera is still on the wall, although now not pointing in exactly the same direction as it was. It's actually one of the headlight pods that is hanging down from the front of the 963. And in order to get this car away again, they've craned it. There are effectively pickup points on the top of all the cars now that are mandated by the series. And they have to be at the balance point of the car as well, whether it's a GT or a prototype, and you pick the cars up if necessary just to facilitate quicker recovery, particularly for cars that you perhaps don't want to roll or try to roll. And there's a specific bar that travels with the series, and then what you do is you give the bar attachment to your recovery team. It steps around here. Most of the trucks provided by the Steps company. We saw them up at Daytona as well. And then they can attach that to their normal recovery cranes. Oh, a couple of really big compressions through the corner. The lap before, he had almost the same accident, but didn't quite go across the curb as much. We're talking a foot there. We're talking the difference between, you know, triumphant disaster there, Jeremy, of the car bouncing an extra foot to the right-hand side and the right rear stepping out of line just a tiny bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a notorious corner, that one. There's bumps all the way through it, but the bumps are slightly different. If you're on, you know, as you say, a foot offline or even 6 inches offline, the severity of the bumps, if you like, is different. And then once you get beyond that and onto that curb, yeah, there's not a lot of grip on that curb, and if the car is running sideways there and you can't try and correct it, as soon as you get back onto the slightly grippier Is it asphalt there at that point, or is it concrete?
Still concrete.
Is this on the exit? Yeah. And then it grips again, and that's what happened to Matthew Jaminet. And it kind of gripped again and shot him off towards the right. He then locked up the brakes, but by then it was too late. That car was already travelling to the right.
Nose damage right across the front of that car. Yeah. There'll be damage to the right rear as well. Now, bodywork, honestly, they've got enough bodywork to build another two or three cars behind the wall at Porsche Penske Motorsport. The worry will be if there's any damage to the driveline from the hit on the back wheels, and they'll be looking at that very, very carefully indeed. It's gone pretty stoutly into the concrete wall, and they'll be looking at suspension pickup as well.
Did he catch some of the tyres there as well? The tyre wall?
Not sure. Don't think so. We are going to have 4 minutes and 4 seconds to run. The clock will be reset for like a NFL ref here, umpire here. Reset the clock to 4 minutes and 4 seconds. So I said I thought we'd had about between six and 7 minutes. That will give us a full session. There's time to do this. I like when race control do this sort of thing. And the flag is being shown for green. Everybody's still in their box. That's a couple of laps if they can get the temperatures up. And so the clock reset to 4 minutes and 4 seconds as the green flag came out. That will give us our minimum green flag run time of 10 minutes. That means that provided we have no further interruption, the lap times will stand to set the grid. Had that not been the case, they would have had to have been decided by, and I quote, some other measure. We saw that once at the bottom of the timing screen, which I thought was interesting. It's normally done in those circumstances by championship points, but the option to use a previously timed session is there in the regulations.
Yeah, absolutely right. And the only GP car that had set a lap time quicker than the LMP2s was Phil Hansen, who did a 151.4. Nobody else did, but look, I think they're probably gonna have time for three laps here, an out lap, kind of another warm-up lap you'd like, and then a flying lap, and that's going to be about it, I think. So the pressure's on. We'll see who can perform and get the tyres into their optimal window within just two laps, and then go for it. I think they prefer lap 4 or 5. The drivers, when everything by then is fully up to optimal working temperatures and pressures and brakes and tyres and everything else on these very sophisticated cars. But they're going to have, I reckon it's three laps. That's going to be it.
The 70-second Mobil 1, 12 hours of Sebring, will have the largest field of cars since 2014. 54 cars on the entry list. Let's hope we get all of them to the green flag. 58 we've got. It was 54 back in
53 last year.
Yeah.
And 58 this year.
It was 54 back in 14. And just a few minutes ago, should have possibly said that. I'm sure you've seen this reported in all the usual outlets, but today, in the middle of March, John Doonan stepped up in the Apex Cafe, our shared hospitality area for teams and IMSA, and announced a confirmed schedule for IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship and the Michelin Pilot Challenge for 2025. Extraordinary amount of work that will have gone into that. These are not suggested dates, these are inked in with each and every track, each and every promoter, to allow them to start promoting next year's event at this year's event. And considering here at Sebring, we have over 220 cars here. That is, I think we had 222 at the last count, and we had...
That's trailers.
All right.
Transporting the cars and the support equipment. 222 lined up on the alongside the Alec Oldman straight.
Extraordinary.
In the paddock.
Amount of entries here, which is larger than when we had Super Sebring. I joked to John that this was, in that case, was this Super Duper Sebring. Super IMSA Sebring is what it is. All under the IMSA sanctioning body. Smashing work by everybody concerned here.
David Pettipeter pretty measure all on that, didn't he? Got it all buttoned up and down. And yeah, that's a real feather in IMSA's cap, I think, to come up with a schedule
totally
so quick,
agree.
So soon. It's pretty much the same as this year.
4 seconds to go. 3, 2, 1. Checkered flag. And the first one to see it is Phil Hansen, who has dropped to second place, even though he improved. Pipo Durrani goes to the top with a 1:48.1, and he's got one more lap. He's going to need it because Ricky Taylor's just done a 48 flat, but Durrani has another flat. Now, drama from the pit lane. Pipo Durrani is still top of the pile because the number 10 shirt, Adam, will not be holding on to that. Will not be holding on to that time.
You're allowed to change tires in this session, but you're not allowed to do any work to the car. The number 10 did more than change tires, and that was during the red flag. So all their times from this session will be eliminated.
And in fact, that time has just disappeared from the field, from the screen. Louis Delatraz still out there in the number 40. Wayne Taylor Racing with Acura. Felipe Nasr for Porsche Penske, the remaining Porsche Penske Motorsport car, and Pipo Durrani. They're the only three that can improve, and Durrani is already at the head of the field for a pole position, potentially, for the Whelen Cadillac Racing car. He's in behind the number 40, I think. As they,
yeah, because it's the Porsche out front, isn't it? So that's Felipe Nasr kind of leading these three cars. I think Pipo's backed off. He's realised he's not going to improve. Kind of trapped up behind that Acura. So it's up to these two coming down towards Sunset Bend.
So it will be the Porsche of Felipe Nasr, currently in seventh with a 150.3, that will come across the line first of these last three cars, and goes to third, fourth, fifth place for Nasr as the timing scrolls across. But Delatraz goes third, and Pipo Durrani pits. Didn't need to finish that lap once he knew that the time from the number 10 Acura had been chalked off. 1:48.1 then. Pipo Durrani going for history this weekend, and another victory this weekend would put him among some pretty exalted company, Jeremy, in terms of IMSA wins here at Sebring.
Yeah, true that. And that's a shame that that red flag came out just that time, because nobody really then got up. We haven't yet seen, and we won't see this weekend, the ultimate potential lap times of these GTP cars, because three laps wasn't enough to get everything up to where it needed to be. I said they'd need at least one more lap, and that is indeed the case, because the pole position last year, in the first year of these GP cars, was a 45.8 by Pipo Durrani, and a 48.1 is the best he could manage in that very much shortened session.
Pipo with 5 wins to his name so far. He's 4 wins outright to his name so far, with Frank Beeler, Alan McNish, and Pipo Durrani. If he scores his fifth, he would move up to tie with Dindo Capello on 5. Tom Christensen outright at the front with 6 wins. Should have been 7 as well. Remember, Tom blew the pit lane speed limit on the way into his last stop one of the years. Have I got my numbers right there, Jeremy? I think that's right. You've got the book.
Yeah. Honestly, I was looking at something else, to be honest.
The book of words. Way to go, buddy. Way to go. Excellent stuff from Pipo when under pressure. Looked like he might have to do one more lap. Jack Aitken and Tom Blomqvist will be joining him in the quest for the victory at the weekend.
You told me about an hour ago.
So, Adam is down there just waiting for Kevin Lee to do the interview. How's Pipo looking, Shea? Does he look happy? I bet he does.
I bet he does, yeah. Second pole of the season then for Pipo Durrani, the defending series champion.
Jeremy?
So the grid is set, and Pipa Durrani then will start from the pole position again here at Sebring. Also had the pole in 2021 and last year as well. So yeah, this is a track that he absolutely shines on. Four wins here, as you were saying just a while ago. One in 16, in 18, 19, and last year. So he's the man here. Won from the pole 1 year ago, and he's in perfect position to do the same again.
So, just waiting to have a word with our pole sitter. Shea Adam is down at the end of pit lane. Going for history this weekend. Pipa Durrani to potentially draw level with Dindo Capello.
Yeah, and for Pipa Durrani, it's even better to get pole position considering the Cadillac Corral is out on track right now. So them getting to take a couple of laps. Kevin deciding to ask another question. So Pipa just being held on to for a couple of moments' time. But that's all right. We'd like to share. And for Pipa, it's a very exciting thing. He got out of the car. He looked at me and he went 100% record in the GTP qualifying era. Not bad. So that's pretty cool, too, that he's already thinking about that. Pipa, a guy who won last year's race with Jack Aiken, now he's sharing the car with Tom Blomqvist. And they've been fairly diligent throughout the entirety of the practice sessions that we've had so far, not using too many tires. And, oh, how cool. Sonny Whelan is here, just walked around the side of the car as well to celebrate with Pipa. And it's a Cadillac 1-2. This is the 25th pole for Cadillac since coming into the top category of IMSA Racing in 2017. So it's a momentous day. And basically replicated the grid from last year with Pipa on pole and Seb Bourdais for company. So it's a very big thing for Cadillac sponsoring this race as well. I'm actually going to see if I can get a quick word from Chris Mitchum. Chris, Pipa, when he came on your team, you said he's not bad. He was a good addition. Now he's gotten four poles in the last six attempts here at Sebring. How proud of him are you?
It's an amazing run by him and the team. The focus just to stay, you know, you have a weird session like that when you get a red flag and you never know what's going to come your way. The teamwork to be ready, change tires on the fly, get all those things, check all those boxes. But you can't do it without the rocket ship behind the wheel. The poles are incredible, but I'm looking forward to seeing him go ahead and get that record Sebring win this weekend. That's what we're focused on.
How important is the night running compared to the heat of the day? Because we know the car's fast right now.
Yeah, no, for sure. You have to focus on the last 2 hours of the race here. You know, you never never get overconfident being fast in the heat of the day. But at the same time, we got some pretty smart guys back there that'll be doing some changes overnight, and we'll be ready for the race as well.
Congrats on another pole, Chris.
It's phenomenal. I couldn't be more happy for the guys, and huge shout out to Pipa Durrani. He's an amazing wheelman. He proves it every time.
He's not too shabby. Pipa just finishing up with the interviews and now getting big hugs from Sonny Whelan, which is super well-deserved, and the crew coming over as well. Let him celebrate with Sonny really quickly and get the pictures done. Chris jumping in on the pictures now, too. Oh, let's jump in for our interview first. Pipa, this is another pole position for you, 4 in 6 attempts at Sebring. This place loves you, but how much do you love Sebring?
I mean, I get to love more and more every year I come here, I suppose, but It's fantastic. It's a place that suits my driving style for sure. The car, obviously, it's fantastic. To be able to do that, you have to have the car beneath you. You know, it's not only myself or one individual. It's a group effort, and to be able to do that gives us great hope that me and Ian, we are in great sync with each other. Only Cadillac on pole so far in the GTP class. So that's quite an honor for us as a team. So really happy with the result. We know it means nothing on a 12-hour race, but, well, it means something. We have a quick car. Now, if it's going to translate into a race win, we don't know, but we're going to do the best.
Congratulations on today. Good luck again tomorrow.
Thank you.
Shea Adam with that CrowdStrike pit lane report with the driver who will start in pole position, Pipa Durrani for Whelan Cadillac. Congratulations also to PJ Hyatt for AO Racing in LMP2. And it was Jack Hawksworth for Lexus and Philip, for
I nearly said Phil Hansen there for a moment because he was up there at one time, but it was Philip Ellis for Windward Racing in GTD. They will have the honour of bringing their respective fields around to the green flag tomorrow at 9:40. That's the next time we'll see these cars. We'll bring you all the build-up from 9 o'clock local time here at Sebring with Michelin Countdown to Green, the full grid rundown, Porsche keys to the race, and all the atmosphere from our CrowdStrike pit lane reporters on the grid. And then it's the full 12 hours, Mobile One 12 hours of Sebring live from Sebring International Raceway. Qualifying is done and dusted for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. The action continues on Fast Friday, and we'll have more from Sebring here on IMSA Radio.
This program is a radio show limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.